Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hi everyone, welcome to Words of Wisdom with Apostle Glenn Munama. We are excited to have you on our podcast, and we know you will be blessed, convicted, and strengthened by this week's podcast episode. Don't forget that a new episode is posted every Wednesday at 7 p.m. South African Standard Time. Before you get into it, please don't forget to follow us on social media. Our Facebook page is The Synagogues JWC. Our Instagram is thesynagogues.jwc. And last but not least, our YouTube page is Ida TV. We also would love to hear back from you, so we have set up a Discord channel for you all. Feel free to check out the podcast description for the link. We also have a few announcements. The Synagogues JWC is building. Our goal is to have the funding to start phase one of the auditorium by 2025. To give towards the project, you can use our PayPal PayMe link or via bank transfer. Banking details and PayPal link can be found in the podcast description. Let us build the house of the Lord. Enjoy.
I've been talking about the last days, which is where we are right now. And we should not be preaching anything but the message of the last days. Of course, it's a message of salvation, but it's also a message of preparation for his coming. Are you ready?
Amen.
Are you ready for his coming?
Amen.
When he comes, he wants to know, what will he find you doing? In the days of Noah, when the floods came down, the Bible says that they were going about their lives as usual. And it suddenly came upon them. Even this day when it comes, some will still be interested in the things of this world. Running after things. Then suddenly he will appear. Churches preach messages that they know people want to hear. The ones that will tickle their ears. That's what the churches preach. The kind of messages that will make you stand up and say, preach it, Pastor. Preach it, man of God. You are moving powerfully. You have been used by God because you have just touched them where it ticklish. Amen? But the message of the end time is the one that says the axe is even at the root of a tree, ready to chop branches that do not bear fruit. Yes. John, when he speaks to the disciples, to the Pharisees, he said, who warned you about the wrath that is coming? Repent then. Amen? Repent. And he says, the axe is at the root of the tree, ready to chop any that does not bear fruit. Repentance. Amen? Message of what? Of repentance. That's not what we want to hear. I've been talking about parables and sharing from the parables of the end times. We are going to look at another one. We're going to look at another one today. Hallelujah. These messages are to proof you for heaven, just to heaven proof you. So that when Jesus comes, you are ready to go with him. Amen? Somebody asked me during the week, some random person said to me, are you going to heaven? It's not a member. Yeah, I just met them in the street. I said, are you going to heaven? No. Actually, this person, I said, she was swearing, you know? She was swearing, and her swearing was so usual that she was not even aware she was swearing. I said to her, why are you talking like that? She used a word that I cannot speak, but she was talking. I said, why do you talk like that? What did I say? I said, no, you can't swear like that. And I said, did I swear? I said to her, it's so bad that you cannot even tell that you are swearing. It has become a language to you. So what I told her, and he said to me, am I going to hell? And I said, I don't know. He said, are you going to heaven? I said, I don't know. I'm praying that I make it. I'm praying that I make it. That's how it is. Every day, even Paul says, I box myself every day. The same Paul who wrote the scriptures we are reading, he says, Leona, he wasn't guaranteed of heaven. What makes some of us think that you are guaranteed of heaven? He said to me, I've never heard anybody so honest. I didn't judge her. At the same time, I didn't say I'm going to heaven. That left a long-lasting impact on her life. Are you with me? So today I'm going to talk about something that many of us do experience, and a lot of times get frustrated when you go through this experience or process in life. We're going to read from the book of Matthew chapter 20, which is another parable of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We're reading from verse 1.
Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning.
You see, it says a kingdom of heaven. Say kingdom of heaven. This is how things work in the kingdom. Say never. This is how things work in the kingdom of God. And that's how they will work in heaven. Are you hearing me? The kingdom of heaven is where God is king. It's where his throne is. That's why it's called kingdom. It's like KZN is the kingdom of the Zulus. Amen? So that's where the Zulu king is. Kingdom of heaven is where God is, where God reigns. So there are certain things that characterizes that kingdom. Are you hearing me? And some Christians are surprised when they experience the things of the kingdom and they think there's something wrong with them. Oh, I don't know if you are hearing me. or something is not right in their lives. But that's how the kingdom of God operates. And this is the one area that confuses many people that I'm going to talk about today. Continue reading.
Who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard? Verse 2, he agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. Verse 3, about 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. Verse 4, he told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.
So the vineyard owner goes early in the morning. He hires people. He agrees with them. And I want you to understand, to underline agreement. There was an agreement with them. There was an agreement. You see, when you're a child of God, you must know that there's an agreement between you and God about certain things that must be in place in your life. Now, that is very important, because if you don't know what is this agreement, you will think that you deserve more when you do other things, but they are part of the contract. Am I talking to somebody here? Can I speak to somebody this side? If you don't know what is in the agreement, you will demand more. You will be demand more for the things that you have agreed that they are basic things that you have to do. Am I making sense to somebody?
Amen.
Say never understand the agreement. What is all about? Ask your neighbor, are you a Christian? What is your neighbor saying? Ask your neighbor, do you understand there is an agreement between you and God? Does your neighbor know that there is an agreement? Do they know? Do they know they don't know? They know, okay. Do they know that there's an agreement? Okay. The next question is, do you know what is in the agreement? Because some Christians do things and get a shock of their lives that they don't get anything for them. There are expectations that are not even supposed to exist that Christians have. Not part of the agreement. I know you don't want to hear this, but I'm preparing you for heaven. He comes in the morning, he finds people, he agrees with them. This is what we're going to do. You're going to work until 4, and this is what I'm going to pay you. They agree. And then he goes, he meets another group around noon. He speaks to them. They agree. Ask your neighbor, what was the agreement? I don't know when you met him. Was it in the morning or was it in the afternoon or whatever? But what is the agreement? Because as far as that agreement is concerned, he will honor it. Don't blame him for anything outside it. Say never, Christianity is hectic. It's not what people sell us out there because they want to milk something out of us. The truth of God makes one uncomfortable. Amen. Many things that we are praying for are in the agreement. Many things that we are fasting for are in the agreement. Are you here? Say never, many things are in the agreement that God is going to do them for you. It's covenant. Amen. Continue reading.
Verse 5. Uh-huh. So they went.
Yes.
He went out again and noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Verse 6.
He went again in the afternoon and did the same thing. Also there was what? There was an agreement. Amen. And then?
After 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, mm-hmm. Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?
Yes.
Verse 7.
Uh-huh.
Because no one has hired us, they answered.
Yes.
He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 8.
Uh-huh.
When evening came,
yes.
The owner of the vineyard mm-hmm. said to his foreman,
mm-hmm.
call the workers and yeah. pay them their wages,
yes.
beginning with the last ones hired
uh-huh.
and going on to the first.
Yes.
Verse 9.
Uh-huh.
The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10.
Uh-huh.
So when those came...
Now listen... When, say never, this is interesting. I'm sure the people who came in the morning, when they saw the one who worked 1 hour getting one denarius, they thought, okay, I worked 8 hours, so I can times that by 8. Phew, today I really worked. They're already planning what they're going to do with the money. Are you hearing me? If the one who came, who worked for 1 hour, gets what? One denarius, okay? You worked 8 hours. It makes sense. It makes logical sense. Say, neighbor, there's a lot of things in heaven that don't make logical sense. A lot of them. These are spiritual matters. This is the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of man. There are a lot of things that don't make sense. If you are not prepared for senseless things, you are not ready to be a Christian. Somebody doesn't like what I'm saying here. There's a lot of things in the kingdom that don't make sense. There's a lot of them. The people who came early thought, oh, we are doing fine today. Yo, what a jackpot. I'm already planning what they're going to do with the money. Amen? Are you still here? You read verse? Verse 10. Let's go to verse 9 again. And when they came... that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Say a penny. But when the first came, they supposed, do you see that? That they should have received more. Doesn't it make sense? Are you here? Can you talk to me? Doesn't it make sense that they should get more? Sure. Say sure. And they likewise received every man a penny. What a shocker. Say neighbor, what a shock.
What a shock.
What a what? And it's like, I mean, when they came to them and they gave them penny, say, are you okay? So what? You just gave me a penny. Amen. Many of us get shocked when we don't get what we expect. I say many of us in the kingdom of God get shocked when we don't get what we expect. Say, neighbor, do you have expectations? How many times they were frustrated? I'm talking real heaven now. Ask your neighbor, did you have expectation at some point that God was going to do something and he did not do it? Am I talking what you know? Amen. What a shocker. Say, neighbor, what a shocker. What a shocker. So the guys were shocked. How come? How come? What? This one came just when we were about to knock off. You gave him a penny, and then you give me a penny too. When I've worked from morning. Oh, Jesus. But when they first came, they supposed that they should have received more. Why? Because they worked longer and harder. And they likewise received every man a penny. Say, what a shocker. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. They said, this last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us. Kanjani. Kanjani. Kanjani for it. Angene ukuseni. Kanjani. Ay, lias ropa manila. Some of us, we do murmur against God, and we are not even aware we are murmuring. The Bible talks about us. Who else is it talking about? This is the kingdom of God. These are the people who are inside, not outside. These are people who are in the house. These are not non-believers, you know. It's you and I. Some of us work more than others in the kingdom. But we get no more than what others get. That's how it works, the kingdom of God. So remember, that's the kingdom of heaven. And when they had received it, they murmured. Say, they murmured. They complained. Ask your neighbor, do you sometimes complain when your expectations are frustrated? You know, some of us, we think by a certain time in our lives, certain things would have happened. And then a manje, sinja halunji. Manje. Am I talking something you know? And are you Christians? Say, neighbor, I'm so sorry to hear this. I'm so sorry. But you see, these are the things that happen and nobody talks about them. And you are sitting there alone thinking, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? What more must I do? Are you here? That's why people are not peaceful in life. They think that they must do certain things to get more. There are certain things that they don't depend on how much you do. They entirely depend on God. Can I teach you? saying, this last have wrought but 1 hour. Basabedi saying, they only worked for 1 hour. And you, thou hast made them equal unto us, which has borne the burden and heat of the day. Resebedite. Heat of the day. The whole sun was finished on us. All the heat of the sun was spent on us. We exhausted the sun of its heat. Say never hectic, eh? But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. There's nothing wrong that I've done. Nothing. Didn't not thou agree with me for a penny? Didn't we agree in the morning when we started in the agreement that there are certain things that I will do? And you have to do what you have to do? You see, here is the tragedy. The things that we think we are doing more are the things that are expected of us. Somebody thinks when he fasts for 40 days, he must get more. You are doing what is expected of you. There are people who think when they are fasting and praying more, God will move more. You are doing what is expected. God will move whenever he wants to move. No one is going to make God to move. How many won't come easy? Don't worry. I was speaking to one young pastor yesterday during the training. He asked me, how come when I fast and pray, when I think I'm moving with God and I feel it and I go and minister, nothing happens? No one gets healed. No one gets delivered. No one is moved by anything. But when I think I'm weak spiritually, I've not prayed as I should have, I've not fasted that much, I see people falling under the power of God. I said to him, welcome to ministry. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Nothing makes sense around here. When God moves in our midst, it's because of nothing we have done except him deciding he's going to move. If we think it's much work that we do that makes things happen, we are up for a big frustration. We just ought to do what is expected of us. Yes, we must pray. It is in the agreement. When you think you are doing more, you are actually doing what is in the agreement. Oh my God, am I talking to somebody here? You know, some of us, we think there are certain spiritual activities that we have upped our game when we do them. Ministers, do you hear me?
Yes, sir.
We think when we're doing those things, we have upped our game, yes, and we expect more. You just came in the morning. You are going to get the penny. You are just going to get a penny. Nothing more. Hello? A lot of people will say to me, Pastor, I don't know what more I need to do. I've prayed. I've fasted, I've given money into the kingdom of God. I've supported, I've done everything, Pastor. What more should I do? To do what? To do what? To get God to move? Nothing. If whatever you want to do is to cause God to move, then there is nothing to add. If you ask me what is expected me of a Christian to do, I'll tell you. I don't know what makes God move. Those who claim that they know, they're friends of God, maybe. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
They are what? There are places that pray more than other places, but God does not move as he moves in other places. Hey, wake up. Say never, wake up. I smell the coffee. Hello? You see where the frustration is? You know, to think that we can manipulate God, twist the arm of God, a prayer here, add a fasting there, add 5 days, add 10, that's the formula. That's the formula. If I get it right, then God will do something. Forget it. Who is God? Can you work him out? Can you work him out? Can you figure him out? Can you calculate him? Never. Then he's no longer God. This God that I know, he will move when he wants to move. You as a Christian, you must just be ready for the move. That's it. Certainly, he will not move if you are not ready. But you cannot move, make him move. Just be ready. Amen. I've met a lot of Christians so frustrated because they want to do the work. They want to, the heat of the sun. Babata will chuckle its heart. They want to, we're working. Why are you working? I want my life to improve. Then you are doing the wrong work. Your life is improvement. It's in the agreement. There's nothing that you can do except being a Christian and putting your life in line with the scriptures. Other than that, just wait for him. I cannot be proud and say, God moves in my life because of 1, 2, 3. Some people want to know, how do you pray, men of God? How do you? It's not those things that make God move in my life. You'll be surprised, I pray less than you. Let God be God and let men be men. Amen. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody here? He asks, have I done anything wrong? He's also surprised. Have I done anything wrong? Sometimes when you complain, God is also surprised. Why, Potter? What have you done wrong with this? Why this person is so angry? Why? Why Mutona Buache? What's wrong? I thought she was just doing what I expected to do. No, we are now. He's doing more to get more. I don't know if you are hearing what I'm telling you here. Is it making sense here? There are some people who want to give people formulas to make God move in their lives. You're now way. Say never, you're now way. Formulas. Where do they get those formulas? The God that I know, you cannot work him out. You cannot, you don't even know where he's going to come from. When he comes, he comes. To a people that are ready for him. Readiness is what matters. Your heart that is prepared. If we fast, it's because we fast for a relationship. We fast because we miss him. We want to love him. He's our love. He's our, We're just cutting out the interference of the flesh. The flesh is noisy. It's like when you want to be private with your wife, what do you do? And or your husband, you take the kids to Mkhono. You take the kids to the grannies. How about that? Am I talking something you know? Why do you do that? Because you are cutting out the interference for intimacy. That's what you're doing when you fast. You're cutting out the flesh. You're taking the kids to Mkhono. Is it making sense to somebody here? So that's all you're doing, so you can be intimate with him. I can hear him better. I can hear, get instructions, get understanding who I am, what I'm supposed to be doing. That is all. It's not to make anything spectacular in your life. If it happens, it's because it is the time for it to happen. It is a season, and that season will come. Whether you are here or you are here spiritually, it will come. People run this way because some people have formulas for certain things. Uh-oh. Never. Say never. Never. So, this man says, but he answered one of them and said, I've done nothing wrong. Please. Please. Look at them and say, please. God has done nothing wrong. Please. You know, there are people who are really angry with God. Baru over disappointing. Baru mudimu over disappointing. Say, never. Can you believe it? Say, never. Can you believe? What a shocker. What is? There are people who blame God. Baru mudimu over disappointing. You. How does it even happen? How do people even come to a point where they think that God has disappointed them? Huh? You know, there are people who have left Christianity because God disappointed them. They are in the world. They are drinking like hell. Even a fish doesn't drink like that. Are you hearing me? They are frustrated because God did not do what they were looking for. They left. They snapped, they left everything. They're in the world. But no, it's only killing Zalana. Hey. What's one Nanakwila kill him? Hey. Nakojo Alabu. It's cooking inside of him. Cooking. Surely you know someone who has left Christianity because he's disappointed. You know somebody. You ask them that these are frustrated expectations, wrong expectations. And some of us, leaders, men of God, we tell people, yeah, no, you're not praying enough. You're not fasting enough. That's why things are not happening in your life. People of God, let's not lie to people. No one can ever do anything to make God do anything. We are here not because we want things from God. We are here because we want Him. Yes. Hallelujah. We do things because we love Him. We pray, we preach, we read the Word. Hey, it's life to us. Somebody asked me, what if you discover one day that there was no heaven? Actually, the whole thing was just a farce. There's no heaven, there's no hell. And I said to him, for a moment, and I said, yeah, ne? I said to this person, there's one thing that I won't regret, is that I had a good life. had a good life. If there's no heaven one day, the whole thing was a story. Scaring people for nothing. At least I had a good life. What do you mean I have a good life? Did I have a billion? No, it's not the money that gives me life. The quality of it. There are people who live a better life in a mukuku than the one who's in something. Don't look at these things. Don't look at these things. They come, they come. They don't come, they don't come. Hello? Quality of life, that's what matters. Some people had peace until they had money. Oh, you don't hear what I'm telling you. I say some people had peace until they had money. Now, are you here?
Yes.
These things will come. They'll come. You have money. Say, neighbor, you have money. But we are not waiting for money. When it comes, it will come. Whether it's next week, it's next year. Those who say to you, in 3 months' time, this is going to happen, let it happen. You see, let me tell you something about the prophetic a little bit so that you understand. No one can make God do anything. But you see, in the realm of the spirit, things happen before you see them in the physical. So in the prophetic, God is able to reveal your future. Okay? That in this period, something is going to happen. God is revealing your future to a man. Therefore, a man is able to tell you. He is not the one who makes it happen. He's just telling you what God is going to do. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
That is important sometimes because he is not the only one who's seeing what God is going to do. Even the wicked people are seeing it. So what happens is that they'll begin to attack. So that's how some people's destinies are destroyed. It's because the whole world can see that God is coming your way. So when you pray, some of the things you are doing, you are preventing this thing from happening. You are preventing things that will happen to stop what God has planned anyway. I hope I'm talking to somebody here. So in the prophetic, we'll say to you, something is happening, pray. Something is going to happen in 3 months, pray. Because we are not the only one who can see it. Even your enemies can see it. That's why some people, Barry, why? But Van Lanza and Kisina Nix. They are not interested about your today, they are interested about your tomorrow. Because your tomorrow looks very different from today. Do you understand that? Oh, Jesus Christ. So that's where the importance of the prophetic comes in, revealing the future, so we may pray and position ourselves. So those who tell you, I can open your life, what is that? I can open. You are a man. You're a man. Deliverance is another story. Yes. God has given us the power to set people free from things that are holding them back, locking their future. Not even I doing that. God is setting you free. I'm not setting you free. Not the man. No one can make God do anything. Not a man. Are you here? Say, neighbor, are you listening? Are you learning? Look at it, say, neighbor. I receive it, man. I see it's 1 o'clock, but it's fine. Let's just work. Let's just work. Somebody said to me the other day, why people will just come sometimes into this ministry and then they just get breakthroughs just like this. And people who have been here for long, they are not happening. Say never. Receive it. Get 2 o'clock. Leave God and what he's doing. Let him pay people pennies. Let him do whatever he does. As for you, do what you ought to do. I don't know if you are hearing what I'm telling you. Just do what you ought to do. Do you know what I'm talking about? Say, neighbor, do you know what he's talking about? People who are not praying as much as you pray, but things are just breaking through. No, now I want to talk to somebody here. People who don't even look that holy, who don't look even that righteous. Oh, can I talk to somebody here? People who do not pray as much as some of us pray. But things just happen, no? But God, stop murmuring. Stop murmuring. You're talking below your whatever. But God says, stop murmuring. Leave me. Quelle. Are these things not happening? Tell me. Are they not happening? Are they happening? Okay. He answered to him and said, friend, I like the way he expects you. Say, friend, show me. My God has got sense of humor, eh? What is that? Wait, frustrated too, and or show me. You know, frustrated. He says, friend. Look at the neighbor, say, friend. Yeah. Are you still here? Nako asa batla utlwa next. He even said, I get rapeli today. No, today I'm tandaza. I'm not going. Today I'm not going. What's the use? And God says, friend, friend, what's up, friend? Are you still here? Yeah? I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee, I will pay them the same thing I'm paying you. Are you here? Is it not lawful? Now look at 15. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Don't I have the right to do whatever I want to do with what I have? Are you going to blame me? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Are you going to do this, to be an evil man or wicked woman because God is doing what is supposed to be doing anyway, or because it's good to somebody? Are you here? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. This is how people will lose their positions. Because they are angry. They are unsatisfied. They are unhappy. Are you here? Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 9. Amen. Do you love Jesus? Romans chapter? Verse 14 says, what shall we say then? You know, this is after many, if you go through this, the story of Esau among others and Jacob. Amen. Esau, I reject. Jacob, I receive, I love. Verse 14 says, what shall we say to then? What can we say then when we're looking at all these things? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, now look at that. He said to who? He said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. In other words, I will do things to whoever I want to. I'll be good to whoever. Some translations say, I want to be good to whoever I want to be good. Are you here? And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. No one can tell me nothing. No one. No one can make me do anything. But what I have promised to do in the contract, I will do. If you go to God and say to him, in the contract you said this, let's see if God will be a liar and you will be right. None of us can go to anything and say, God, you said this and God did not do it. He has done everything that he said he will do for you, even without you fasting for 40 days. So there are things that God will always do. Amen? But there are things that we want. Say, but there are things that we want. That we think if we go on this hunger strike, ministers, are you listening? Yes. Some of the first things get a hunger strike. I will not eat until God do something. It's a hunger strike. Say never, don't look down. Please, please, please. Please, please, let's talk about this. Some fasting are what? The hunger strikes. Is it not true? Say, so look at them and say, when were you last on hunger strike? What are the ministers saying? I know ministers like hunger strikes too much. Am I talking to somebody in the house? Are you having discussion with your neighbor? What is your neighbor saying about hunger strikes? Recently. Okay. Hallelujah. If you fast because you want something, it's hunger strike. Are you talking to your neighbor? So if you fast because you want something, it's hunger strike. Let's fast properly. Let's fast for a relationship. Let's fast for his presence in our lives. Whatever comes depends on him after that. But we want a relationship. In that relationship, you know, when a man, I'm talking about the relationship, when a man is very happy in a relationship, he can even ask you, what do you want, baby? Because okay. Am I talking to somebody in the house? Now, a man is happy. What can I do for you? At that moment, that's when you say, I want a mansion. I get you know Utavid. You see, are you hearing me? But this hunger strikes. Say never know. This hunger strikes must come to an end. Let us eat. Say never. Arije. Until we know what we are doing. Are you hearing me? Until we understand what we are doing, let's just eat. Because what we are counting as righteous acts or whatever, they are not. They weigh nothing before God. Had to be on the scale is zero. Because the motive was wrong from the beginning. I'm done preaching. God bless you.
Thank you for listening, family. There is a way for both international listeners and South Africans to give. For international listeners, please use our PayPal Me link, which you can find in our podcast description. For South Africans, please see our banking details in the description as well. Shalom.